Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Wednesday edition of News on the Hill. I'm Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in as we broadcast live from the Trinsic Aura studio here at University Place. Whether you're listening over the radio, streaming through chapelboro.com, we are glad to have you along. Despite it being quite the rainy day, maybe not the worst day to be inside or in your car listening to the radio, we have a lot of local news to catch up on. Want to make sure that you stick around for later on in this 5 o'clock hour, as we will be hearing from Art Chansky with his daily sports notebook talking about UNC men's basketball. But we start with the big local government news from last night. The Carrboro Town Council and Orange County Board of Commissioners each approved the final costs necessary to bring a new library to downtown Carrboro. The 203 project on South Greensboro Street has been in the works for several years, while discussions of a southern branch of Orange County's library have actually been around for even longer. This iteration of the project has certainly seen some pretty significant increases in costs, but Carrboro voted 5-1 and Orange County voted 5-2 in favor of moving ahead. Doing so locked in the final project budget of more than $41 million. The two local governments will largely be splitting it, Orange County paying about $22 million of that, so a little bit more than half because of their library and skills development center component of the project. You can find a lot more information on CarrboroNC.gov about the 203 project. Meanwhile, here in Chapel Hill, another big project actually is getting underway today. The Estes Drive connectivity project is really starting to pick up steam, as workers have been out since this morning on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, starting initial work to improve and expand walkways near the intersection of Estes Drive. In the coming months, be on the lookout for some temporary lane closures along that road, and then really a drastic shift in traffic pattern along Estes Drive to accommodate for construction. When it's all said and done, we will be seeing a dedicated bike lane, likely either separated or elevated. And we will also see some expanded sidewalks along Estes Drive meant to protect pedestrians and bicyclists. Now, this is not the only recent project and change the town government has made to try and improve walking and biking safety for residents. Through their Vision Zero initiative adopted last fall, Chapel Hill actually has laid out a plan hoping to significantly reduce traffic fatalities and severe injuries within the next decade. Carolina Connection's Brianna Atkinson has more on Vision Zero and some other town projects to improve safety.
A new solid white line separates the same direction travel lanes at the crosswalk on 405 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. On top of the line are three vertical white poles that prevent cars from shifting lanes as they come upon the crosswalk. This road safety project is called a gateway treatment and is part of Chapel Hill's Vision Zero initiative. Jordan Powell works in the town's planning department and says Vision Zero reimagines road safety by bringing different departments together to help prevent traffic-related deaths.
What happens on our streets is not just a streets problem, but is a public health problem and it's a societal problem. It needs to be addressed through education and engineering and safety mechanisms.
The town of Chapel Hill is also working on another new project to increase road safety in neighborhoods. From October to December, the town reached out to residents in the Northside neighborhood, like Janie Alston, to hear their concerns about speeding.
And see, I live on the corner of Lindsay and Cotton, and they're not just students just flying up and down the street. The traffic just flies, and they put those speed bumps, supposedly. That doesn't do anything. That just makes people get to the bump and just go faster over it.
The survey is a collaboration with the Marion Creek Jackson Center, which works with neighbors to preserve the history and protect the future of historically Black neighborhoods. Community advocacy specialist Kathy Atwater says the neighborhood outreach piece of Vision Zero is essential to making community-centered road safety improvements.
Because if you don't live here, then you don't know what we need. So you can assume or you can make assessments and surveys, but if you're not in the environment where all these things are happening, then you can't better judge as to what's needed.
To address concerns about speeding and crossing at intersections, Powell says the town is implementing a new safety project called a curb extension. It should increase visibility, shorten a pedestrian's crossing distance, and slow vehicles down.
because if there is a crash, you're traveling at a more safe speed. But also when you're making a sharp turn, your body moves a bit and it changes the direction that you're looking. And so there's a higher likelihood that you will see any pedestrians or other road users.
The Vision Zero Initiative doesn't just stop in Chapel Hill. It's a worldwide road safety program that has been around since the 90s. Rebecca Nauman, an assistant professor in the UNC Gilling School of Public Health, works on a research team studying Vision Zero in North Carolina. She says speeding is one of the most important dangers Vision Zero seeks to reduce.
You have objects moving at very high speeds, such that when a collision occurs, the human body can only absorb so much of that crash force, and that can result in injury and death. And so we have seen over the country across time that our speeds have gotten kind of higher and higher and higher.
Alston says speeds in her community are so much of a problem that she worries the curb extension might not be enough to slow cars down.
Okay, so they turn the corner and they just speed down the street. That's not slowing them down. And we have students walking up and down the street. We have people on motorized chairs coming up and down the street. I walk up the street with my dog.
In the coming weeks, the town of Chapel Hill plans to monitor the road safety projects to see if they are effective in reducing traffic fatalities and, in turn, making those dog walks safer. In Chapel Hill, I'm Brianna Atkinson.
Carolina Connection is a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media's. If you're interested, media, I should say. If you're interested in hearing their full programs through this spring semester, be sure to tune in Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on 97.9 The Hill. This weekend is an exception since UNC and Carolina Connection on spring break. Now, turning back to the town of Chapel Hill, the local government also learned yesterday they've been granted $2 million in federal funding for their Homestead Gardens project. That is an affordable housing development set to break ground off of Homestead Road on town land later this year. And even with all of this action, the Chapel Hill Town Council has its focus elsewhere this afternoon. The group of elected officials meeting with town staff as part of their second budget retreat is underway. That started at 4 o'clock at the Rizzo Center, as they are taking a look at some broad goals of the town over not just this next year, but into the future. And turning now to our sports, because of the rain today, no Carolina baseball here in Chapel Hill. UNC postponed its game against Richmond quite a few hours ago. They knew that this rain was going to be coming and disrupting the game. So the Heels will have to put off a return to the diamond until Friday. That's when they'll make their first ACC road trip of the season, right down the street to Durham, for a three-game series against Duke at Durham Bulls Athletic Park. Sounds like the Tar Heels and Richmond Spiders, who were set to play this afternoon, are not outright canceling the game just yet. Both programs will look to try and reschedule at some point later on. Now, the Diamond Heels were able to get in their game last night against VMI. It was a tight one in the early innings, but Carolina able to break it open in the fourth. Angel Zarate was hit by a pitch to load while the bases were loaded to score one Tar Heel, and then a balk by VMI's pitcher scored another run and advanced all others. Carolina's Tomas Frick then followed that up with an RBI fielder's choice to make the score 4-1. UNC's Matt Horvath adding another run in the fifth inning with an RBI single. Final score in Tuesday night's game, 5-1 in favor of Carolina. It was an even more exciting game in Anderson Stadium last night, even though maybe the offense was a little bit slower. The Tar Heels were hosting UNC Wilmington, who's had a great start to the year. Carolina a little bit less so, but the Tar Heels were the ones who jumped out to an early 2-0 lead thanks to a homer from Taylor Green in the bottom of the first inning. And it turns out that was all the offense Hannah George needed to win the game for the Tar Heels. She actually no-hit the Seahawks last night, although a UNCW base runner initially was given a hit. It was later changed to an error, so it was a retroactive no-hitter, but a no-hitter nonetheless. The first for the Carolina softball program since 2013. The Tar Heels stay undefeated this season when George is on the mound. Pretty incredible feat. The one UNC team that is in action today, UNC Women's Swimming and Diving. They have a couple of divers and swimmers that are back in Atlanta this week for the 2022 NCAA Women's Swimming and Diving Championship. It's being held on the campus of Georgia Tech, right where the ACC Championships took place just a couple weeks ago. And several Tar Heels were participating in prelims that started this morning at 10 o'clock. A lot of those events will be running through Friday and the end of the weekend. Meanwhile, the men's basketball NCAA tournament also officially started last night. We are now a day away from the UNC men's basketball team's opening round game against number 9-seeded Marquette. It could be the last game in a Tar Heel uniform for graduate forward Brady Manick, and he has made quite the impression on his teammates and the Chapel Hill fans in his 1 year at Carolina. In fact, here's what senior wing Leaky Black had to say to the media yesterday about Manick and playing with him this year.
Throughout this season, man, he's literally like my favorite player. For me, it's like Kobe White, and then it's like Brady Manick. But Brady Manick is like, Brady Manick is a great player, man. He's not just a shooter, you know, my thing is just, we've always been a point guard. I was just like, it's like a detail game for me, you know, like an IQ kind of thing. And it's just, me and Brady just literally just click. I don't know, he cuts and I just find a way to get him the ball. You know, he's just so smart, and just the way he can score the ball is just so different. I don't know, but I love watching him play. I love playing with him.
Once again, that is UNC's Leaky Black speaking there. You hear some of the media members laughing. That was the first in-person press conference Carolina's done at the Dean Smith Center in a long, long time. We will see how both Manick and Leaky Black do in tomorrow's game against Marquette. Tip-off for that first-round matchup set for 4:30 or maybe a little bit after that here on 97.9 The Hill and in Fort Worth, Texas. We will get things started with your countdown to tip-off pregame coverage at 3 o'clock. It'll be preempting news on the Hill for Thursday. Worth noting, if you are someone who streams on Chapelboro, you will not be able to hear the broadcast of the NCAA first-round game for the Tar Heels. That is due to some broadcasting rights that the NCAA has with other media outlets. Let's continue with a look at local news. We have a couple stories here from our school districts. The Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools leadership is working to construct a new strategic plan. Of course, those are used to better inform future decision-making for the schools. As part of that work, the district just completed an equity audit to help set a shared language and determine direct actions around equity for the future. Superintendent of CHCCS Dr. Naya Hamlet recently joined 97.9 The Hill. She talked about the efforts of the Equity and Engagement Division and how she believes the methods of this audit could be an early stage of instigating some meaningful change in the schools.
Dr. Rodney Trice, who is our Chief Equity and Engagement Officer, has really been doing some great work obtaining feedback from both internal and external stakeholders about what equity looks like in our district and going beyond words, but really starting with us having a common language. So what do we mean when we say equity? What do we mean when we say anti-racist leadership? What do we mean when we say social justice action? And really looking at that from a state of being, but also a state of doing. Like, what does, you know, who are we as a district? What are the language or the common language that we use? And then what does that look like in practice for our students?
How are you hoping to see that reflected on campuses?
I'm really hoping to see ultimately that our gaps begin to close. Quite frankly, it's more than just about achievement gaps. We have gaps as it relates to our discipline disparities. And we also have access and opportunity and quite frankly, attitude gaps to a certain degree. And so I really would like to see us address those things first, because I do think that that will then lead to the closing of the achievement gaps and the discipline gaps that we know exist.
Once again, that is Superintendent Dr. Naya Hamlet speaking there. Part of that, I should say, that full conversation can be found by heading to our audio archives on chapelboro.com, part of our ongoing Speaking of Schools segment. Really appreciate her taking the time to talk with us. Some congratulations are also in order for several CHCCS students who won awards through C-SPAN's recent documentary contest. 11 students from Smith Middle School and one from East Chapel Hill High School each earned recognition for their work examining topics like freedom of speech, cybersecurity, and gender equity in sports in short documentaries. Congratulations especially to Ada Watson, who won second place with her documentary, Our Hands Are Tied. It's about the U.S. prison system. In addition to a $1,500 prize, Ada's documentary will air through the day on C-SPAN on April 1st.